We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Praise you, Lord. Sure, when last week, Diana really felt it was time to go back and to rehearse the basics, maybe is a good way of saying it. I think that you're not the kind of congregations who would say, oh, that again. Because, as I reminded you last week, that both Apostle Paul and Peter had no trouble reminding the people that they wrote to. And, you know, if we knew it all, if we had it all together, there would be more manifestation. So obviously we've got some things to learn and got some things to grow into. Amen. And so I want to talk about faith this morning. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. Amen. Praise God. Says four times in the Word of God, the just shall live by faith. The just are the righteous ones. The Thayer's Greek English lexicon says one who is such as he ought to be, the just. When we receive Jesus, Lord and Savior, we become just or righteous. Amen. And we become, on the inside, we are this is who we are now, as we ought to be. Praise God. And that person is supposed to live by faith. The word for live there is basically the same word as zoe, is the God. The God kind of life is centered around faith. It's how we're supposed to live every day. It's not, faith is how we receive healing. It's how we receive prosperity. It's how we get our needs met, those kind of things. But it's not just made for, here's what I do when I get in trouble. This is how we're supposed to live. This is how we Diane was talking and praying this morning about our responsibilities as citizens. It's how we live. It's how we're citizens of the United States. It's how we get up in the morning. It's how we go to bed at night. It's how we sleep. At least it should be. And, you know, and we all have faith, as I'm going to go over with you again. But apparently a lot of times I think it's in the wrong direction. It's not that we don't have faith. It's we're believing the wrong things. So Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 4. But God, remember we were talking we used the scripture last week of the first few verses talk about we were. Thank God we were under these other things, but we're not under them anymore. We're not under the thumb of the devil. We're not under the thumb of the adversary. We're not children of disobedience any longer. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Now we were keying in on verse 8, for by grace you've been saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And actually there are, in some ways, one way of looking at it is there are three things that are the gift of God there. The grace, amen, that's what we talked about last week. The faith and the salvation itself are all things that we couldn't do on our own. That's why you have verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So when if I could do something to save myself, then that would give me some room to brag, some room to boast. If I could do something to heal myself, if I could do something to cause my needs to be met, then it would be in my hands and I would be able to pat myself on the back, I guess, or something like that. But the fact is, all those things are gift from God. And we need to just learn to trust him more, to grow in these things. The whole thing about faith is it's a progressive thing. Not just faith, but anything, things of God, even things that aren't necessarily biblical principles, we learn progressively. Don't we?
Amen.
You know, hopefully we know a little bit more now than we did when we were two. I remember being a little kid and thinking that when I heard the radio was on, I've been thinking there were little people in there. And I even went around back to try to see if I could see them in there, but I think I figured out since then it probably isn't little people in there. You know, we progressively learn. If you come into a new job, I took a job when I was in Bible school years ago in a factory that made living room furniture. And so we made the frames and then sent them off somewhere else to be fabriced and so on. And one of the machines was a big drill press, a table longer than I can reach. And there would be as many as 8 bits coming down. And the table would go up into the bits and drill holes and then come back down. And so if you had a really long rail, like the front of a 7-foot couch or something like that, you have to pull it out, turn it around, and then the table would come back up again. Well, the first time I tried that, holes were drilled everywhere where they shouldn't have been, because I just couldn't get it spun around fast enough to get it back in there, because it would come down, you'd pull it out, turn it around, the air would go and blow the chips out, and then put it back in and go again. So, but I stayed with it, and after a while, I could actually turn it around before the table came back up again. Praise God, there was also, I learned after a while, you could hit a pedal, and it would keep going down until you could get it back in there again. But we do. We learn progressively. And so, you know, sometimes people will say, well, I tried that faith stuff. It just didn't work for me. Well, God doesn't have another plan. Like that one, huh? It isn't a plan B as far as God's concerned. It's by faith. The just shall live by faith. So we're going to have to figure out how to understand it to the extent that we can act upon it. And walk in faith, in the faith of God. We mentioned also last week Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. By grace are you saved through faith. Grace makes it available. By faith we receive it and take hold of it. And that's already appeared. It isn't like God has to do something else. He's already done what needs to be done. What I find my struggle is believing that it's already done. Because I have, up to this point, fall very, very easily back into, I'm still going to have to do this, or this is still going to have to happen, or it becomes a progressive thing in that sense, if God has to do something. No, God doesn't have to do anything. God and Jesus made this plan before the foundations of the world, it says, that they were going to pull this plan off and the Holy Spirit was going to reveal it to us, that Jesus was going to come and pay the price for our sins and pay the price for our healing and our justification, our deliverance, our prosperity in every way, our peace. The chastisement that we needed to get peace was on him. Thank God. And it's already done. Our part of believing is that it's already done. That's the part. That's where I struggle anyway. And I'm going to stay at it till I understand that. And I know that I'll understand it. I'll know when I'm understanding it and believing it and walking in that, because I'll be walking in that, praise God. I won't be in a chair anymore, praise God. Mark chapter 11. You have this wonderful incident, Jesus' ministry, where he cursed the fig tree and then came back and it was cursed from the roots, and he used that as an illustration for faith. And he says in verse 22, is a short but important verse. Peter was mentioning, look at this, Jesus, look at what happened here. And he said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God would be a way to explain it, or have the God kind of faith. One of the first things I heard in Kenneth Hagin's teaching was, This is another way of thinking about this, and it helps to think about it that way, is have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. In a sense, Jesus is saying, this is how it works. And in Mark 11, 23, he talks about the power of words. And Mark 11, 24, he talks about how to pray and how to do these things in faith. The just shall live by faith. Everybody say, the just shall live by faith. Praise God. See, we're one of those just ones, and we're gonna learn to walk that way. Now, if you have a Spirit-filled Life Bible, it has a note in there about faith, and gives this definition. It says, conviction, here's some of the words it uses, conviction, trustworthiness, and persuasion. Faith. P-I-S-T-I-S in the original language in the Greek, conviction, trustworthiness, and persuasion. When we are in faith, we're persuaded about something. We'd have to admit, wouldn't we, that we've been persuaded in the wrong direction about some things? And so the progress is to come around and stop that and start believing right. Put off the old man, put on the new man, as Paul said over in Ephesians. Amen? This is what we need to learn to do. Here's the note. This word for faith is divinely implanted, the divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all that he says. Let me read that again. It is the divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all he says. If God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Praise God. It settles as far as God's concerned. There's a scripture in Psalms, in chapter 89, I think it is. God's word is forever settled in heaven. And one translation says God's word is deputized. Because it'll work for us, praise God. He sent his word and healed us, delivered us from all destruction. Now, one of the reasons though I wanted to look at that verse in Mark chapter 11, go over to Romans chapter 12, is because we need to remind ourselves of the basics. One of the basics about faith is we have some. And we, in some of our examining in faith, I'll be honest with you, I looked at faith for a long time as the problem is I just don't have enough. And so we were out trying to get some more, and we went to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But when you study the whole thing out, the principles of the word together, it's not necessary to get more faith. It's necessary to learn to use the faith that we have. Scripture says, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is apparently a very small seed, you can say this tree be removed, and it'll be removed. So it's not so much about the amount as it is using what we have. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, New American Standard Bible says this way, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Or some translations say, the measure of faith. I looked up measure, and it's not a certain thing. It's not like a quarter of a pound or something like that. It's just a measure. We all get the same. Just some people are doing better with what their measure than other people are. Wouldn't you say? So we need to learn to use our measure well. When it says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, one of the fine expository dictionaries says it's a play on words that could be translated not to overthink, but to think soberly. Dave and I have said that and had discussions because both of us have somewhat of an analyst way of looking at things. And we talked about the paralysis of analysis. Anybody been lost in that? You know, there's value to thinking, but you can get lost in the thinking where you overthink things and then it becomes a problem. Sometimes people look at the scripture and it's right there in front of them. Says what it says, but they overthink it, and then they end up making it say something it doesn't say. Well, what it comes down to, we need to all be wise when it comes to listening to teachers, this one included, that we understand that we as teachers we get some of our own thinking in there, and so it's always good to come back to the Word of God and study it out for yourself, and make sure that. You know, it's saying what you've been told it is said. And most of the time, ministers are not trying to purposely mislead people. We're just doing our best to try to get into the Word and break it down for you so we can all receive from it and move on. But another side of that is when you have studied the Word for yourself, when you meditate on the Word for yourself and you get a revelation that way, nobody's going to steal that from you. When you believe it because Kenneth Copeland said or something like that, which good, you know, good man of God, but because someone else said it, that's one thing. But when you've got it into your heart because you looked at it and you studied it and you cross-referenced and you looked at the words, nobody's going to take that from you. Even if it doesn't seem like it's working, you still know it's going to because you've studied it out. You looked at it. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who have obtained like precious faith, faith of equal value. One translation says, equally precious faith. We got the same kind of faith that Peter got. People would lay their sick out in the streets, so hopefully that Peter's shadow would fall on them, and apparently they were getting healed, because why else would you do that if it wasn't working? Amen? And we got the same kind of faith. Now, I know that's a particular special gift of faith. There's a gift of faith, and then there's everyday faith, which is what we're talking about. I mean, I don't know what else to call it, but everyday faith, I don't mean everyday in the sense that it's not valuable. I mean, this is what we use every day. There's a gift of faith that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that's faith beyond our normal ability to believe. It just Kenneth Copeland explained it one time. It's like, God, when the gift of faith is in operation, there's a plug in the back of your head, and God pulls it out, and all the doubt drains out. He puts that plug back in and pours faith in the top, and you just can hardly not believe God. Gift of faith. Believing beyond what we would normally be able to believe. But the everyday faith is what we're talking about, how we need to operate them. Praise God, you got some. You got a measure. Got the same measure that I got, same measure that Peter got, same kind of stuff, praise God, good quality stuff, A1, it'll work, praise God. All right, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Praise you, Lord. Let's all read Hebrews 11, 1 together again. Praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. Now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's do it again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. I mean, thank God he's given us a very clear definition, really, when it comes down to it. I remember having a conversation with my mom. We had this conversation a lot of times. I wish somebody would teach on faith and really help us understand before we came to the faith message and so on. But it was there. You know, the definition's been there for us. I've had a Bible since I was just a kid in church, and so it's there. It's just a matter of getting in there and meditating it into our hearts so we understand. I think that the thing that makes faith difficult is its simplicity. We've tended to complicate it. That's what we have to watch out for. Don't be separated from the simplicity which is in Christ. Can it be that it's already done? Yeah. That's what the truth is. It's already done. Can it be that I'm already healed? Yeah. That's the simplicity of it. Can it be that your needs are already met? Yep. Now, can you believe that? That's the thing. And I like what, you know, one of the things that Dr. Richards has said is, we need to be willing to admit it if we don't. Because God knows if we're pretending or not. What, pretending is one thing. Moving progressively towards coming to that place where I do believe is something else. Amen? I've said before, my aunt was on the phone one day and she said, "How you doing, Wayne?" I said, "Good." She said, "Yeah, I know that's what you're supposed to say, but how are you really doing?" No, that's how some people look at faith. Well, it's just pretending that everything is okay, and it's not, but if I pretend that maybe it'll get okay. It doesn't work that way. It works because we believe. And so if we're not believing, we can admit, well, I'm not to the place where I'm believing that yet, but I'm going to, praise God. I'm going to keep moving in that direction until I know that it's done. I know that 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 it's done and it's mine. So let's break this down and talk about this verse, because this gives us what faith really is. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is. Faith is always now. It's not later on. It's not what did happen. It's not about my experience or the lack thereof. You know, Dr. Lemon talks about our faith, our faith projects that didn't come about. You know, we've all tried things that didn't work. It wasn't God's fault. What works is what we believe. Let me say that again. That's a good statement. What works is what we believe. If it didn't work out the way we wanted it to, we weren't believing what we needed to believe. So you can't look back and say, well, this might have been my experience or the lack thereof. No, faith is now. Then you can look the other way. See, we don't want to zero it right in on ourselves, but we need to look and say, in the future, I'm going to get there, and someday, that's hope. We do have a supernatural hope that's going to be a manifestation. But faith is right now. And faith builds that platform underneath hope and says, it's mine now. Is this the simplicity of faith? Faith is always now. Now faith is. When you read Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them now, and you'll have them. Praise God. It's the substance of things hoped for. Substance, according to one of the Greek English lexicons, is that which has actual existence. Faith, my faith in God is the actual existence of the healing until the healing manifests itself. Does that make any sense to you? Faith, my faith in God is the money that I need until the money comes, gets into my account. Faith, my faith in God is the peace until I'm really feeling the peace. A lot of times the feeling part, or the part where I can show it to you, doesn't come till later, but it comes because I know that I know that I know that I know that I know it's done. Praise God. Doctors might be the last ones to know. Praise God for doctors. They're working with us. They're helping us along the way. You're the banker, the bank account might be the last one to find out, but you need to find out first. You need to find out first and believe that. The Amplified Bible says it this way, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. I love that principle of title deed, because you can have a title deed for something, you can have a title deed for some place that you're not living yet, but it does belong to you. We bought, when we had the house built on Crooked Street, of all places. Where do you live, Pastor? Crooked Street, okay. When we had that house built, we bought the property. We weren't living there yet, but we had the recognition that we got a piece of property. The faith, your faith is that title deed. Your faith is healing belongs to me. Deliverance belongs to me. Peace belongs to me. My needs being met belongs to me. One of the things that I've been saying lately, I have the right to be pain-free belongs to me. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise God. Belongs to me. And so, you know, and you need to get tough about it. There's an illustration been given of, you talk to your, well, this lady came out of her house and her dog, a little dog followed her out. She said, back in the house. Kept following her, get back in the house. Finally turned around, get back in the house. And it turned around and went back in the house. I don't think our dog would do that, but it worked for her. Worked for her. And sometimes you gotta get yourself somewhere where you can raise your voice a little bit, or really get into this thing and say, this is mine. It belongs to me. I'm gonna walk in this, praise God. So we pulled ourselves out of the poor old me, it didn't work in the past. And we pulled ourselves out of worry of What if it doesn't work in the future? And say, it's mine now. Belongs to me. I have a title deed for it. In the Word of God. Praise God. The assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Hope is the, here's a different way of saying it. Hope is the manifestation yet invisible. It isn't that it doesn't exist, just that we can't see it. I like to think about it that way. Faith says it's now. Hope says it's gonna manifest. Hope says I just can't see it yet. I can't see it with my natural eyes. But I need to see it with my spiritual eyes, but I can't see it with my natural eyes. I can't feel the healing yet, but I will. My senses haven't picked it up yet. Senses are one of those things that seems to be the last thing to pick it up. Come on, senses, let's get with the program. Hope is the manifestation, yet invisible. Confident expectation with joy. No poor old me. Confident expectation with joy. It's going to happen. That's all involved in hope. And we need both. We need both. We need, I know it's done. And we need, I know it's going to manifest. One of the things that you can say is every day, in every way, I'm getting better. Every day, in every way, bills getting paid. Every day, in every way, more peace. Whether you're feeling that or not, you're working towards feeling it because you're operating the principles of faith. And when it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, that word things has the thought in it to be things that are already done. Faith is the substance of things already done. Faith is the substance of healing, it's already done. It's the substance of peace, it's already done. It's the substance of financial needs being met, it's already done. And the hope is confident expectation with joy. I'm going to see that. I'm going to see with my natural eye. My senses are going to pick that up. I'm going to be able to show it to somebody else because we're operating by the principles of faith. Then we read on. These substance things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Again, things that are already done, already been done, already been accomplished. Faith requires evidence. Requires evidence. We are going to believe whatever we feel like we have the most evidence for. You all are quiet this morning. Whatever we have the most evidence for. So I've got a lot of evidence that says I'll have to stay in this chair. So I have to override that evidence with evidence that I can stay in this chair because by the stripes I was healed. You're whatever it is the pain is giving you evidence, the doctor is giving you evidence, the bank account is giving you evidence, the feelings, emotions are giving you evidence, people around you are giving you evidence, got evidence thrown at you from every direction, you've got to get out there and get some evidence that contradicts that evidence, and the evidence based upon God and His Word. And that's our responsibility. We've got to gather the evidence. Faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we gather evidence. Either that, I'm understanding, and I've done it. You can just feel sorry for yourself. You can say, I wish you'd teach something else, Pastor. It does come back to us. It's not like we have to perform. It's believing. Amen. The action is believing. That's what God, that's the only thing that holds everything back. As far as what God's done for us is concerned. So, we need to gather evidence. The naked eye can't see it. The feelings can't feel it. But there's evidence out there. What kind of evidence are we looking for? Well, first of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 and 10. I was mentioning to Diane, we used to sing a song. Let's see which one is in this one in. I have seen, you have heard, was recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? And actually, the scripture is in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for those who love him. And when we grew up in church, this was spoken a lot. Actually, the song seemed to take it from the other direction. But this was spoken of, well, you just never know what God's going to do. Don't really expect anything. I've had people try to help people through a difficult time. And don't expect anything. You know, don't get your hopes up. Why wouldn't we want to get our hopes up? If we need faith and hope, why wouldn't we want to get our hopes up? What if it doesn't work out? Well, it's going to work out. We have to come at it that way. But even when it didn't work out in the past, we survived. And we're always better, going to be better with our hopes up. You know, if your hopes aren't up, it's called hopeless. It's not a good place to be. So, I haven't seen, ear, nor have it entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them who love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. See, sometimes you have to read on. The Bible, as it was originally written, this was a letter, and it wasn't broken down into verses. We break it down into verses because it's easier for us to find things, but this was a statement from the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul to remind people, you know, people say one thing, but God, maybe that's a good way to start the day. But God, praise God, hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. It's not coming from the outside in. It's coming from the inside out. He reveals them. We have the Holy Spirit in us. How many have the Holy Spirit in you? Praise God. So we've got the revealer in us, so he'll reveal them to us. Praise God. So what evidence? First of all, and most importantly, by the Word of God. The Word of God is our evidence. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally that says, all scripture is God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, that's course adjustments, and for instruction in righteousness, child training. We need to be trained. And the Word of God is profitable for that. The second one there was for reproof. Just looked up to verify it this morning again. The word reproof is the same word as used in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is substance for the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1 says evidence. 2 Timothy 3:16 says reproof. Same word. So we could say it this way. The word of God is profitable for evidence. What are we doing when we're reading the Bible every day? Gathering evidence. And I don't know if maybe you'd agree with this, that I found that if I have one verse, that's good. But if I can find two that both say it, it's better. And when you start verifying it throughout Scripture and you recognize that the whole context of the Bible is leading you in that direction, that's a good thing. I did a teaching, I don't know if it ever got over on CD, healing from Genesis to maps, and found at least one verse of Scripture, I found one verse of Scripture in every book of the Bible that has to do with God wanting to heal us. Healing's for us. And I did one on prosperity. I think I did prosperity from Genesis to maps. Every book in the Bible has something in there about God wanting to take care of our needs. He's not wanting to. He has taken care of our needs. See, the more that you're building that up, the more evidence that you have. And it's not just what you hear from me or from you know, a minister of the gospel, but what do you get in there and look for yourself? We're blessed today, especially with the stuff that's available online and so on, that you can go in and find these scriptures relatively easily. You can look up a word, healing, and it'll tell you every time that word is used in the Bible, and go through and find it and verify it for yourself. This belongs to me. And what are you doing? You're gathering evidence, praise God. And the more evidence that you get, the stronger that begins to override the fact that you're still hurting and the doctor's saying this and all those other things. And that's what you need to do. Here's what I've discovered. If I just sit back and go with the flow's going the wrong way. I've got to get in there and gather some evidence. All right? What else is evidence? Our words. Psalm chapter 45, verse 1. Actually, our words can be evidence in the wrong direction as much as the right direction. Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer or a skillful writer. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. And you notice it started out talking about heart there. What happens with our words, especially when we say something a lot, is it gets written on our hearts. And we need to work on rewriting our hearts. We talked with Kurt about editing and so on that we do with when we're writing an article or something like that. We need editing as far as our hearts are concerned. Get in there and rewrite. And our words are going to have an effect that way. They are having an effect that way. And it's not, you know, in the past we badgered ourselves wrongly about trying to change every little word. That's not what it's about. It's what you're saying on a continual basis, putting yourself down or whatever it happens to be, that begins to write something on your heart, and you, the important person that's hearing your words is you. There's like an outside voice where it comes around to your ear, and so that you can hear it from the inside too. It's almost a double effect where you say it, and either you should be, either persuading yourself or coming to the place where you've been persuaded and now you're speaking out of that. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. And now it's not, I'm not trying to persuade myself anymore. I'm persuaded and it's mine and I'm saying it and it's coming out there. Illustration was given years ago, I think it was Brother Hagin, said this, this guy talked to him about, he was struggling with some of these principles and I think he needed healing. Didn't seem to be working. He was just speaking to it. Nothing seemed to be happening. And sometimes the Lord speaks to us in dreams. Sometimes it's pizza before we went to bed, but sometimes it's God speaking. And he saw it kind of like a cartoon. And he saw the problem out there ahead of him. And he saw his words going out of his mouth like it would be in a cartoon. And every time they were hitting that problem, it was getting another crack. The voice in the dream said, look closer. It's getting another crack. It's breaking away. And that's what we're doing. A lot of times, if we're doing the right thing, we're persuading ourselves. If we're not persuaded yet, because we're gathering evidence. You're going into the Word of God, and you speak the Word because you're recognizing that's the truth. Jesus said, pray for us. Sanctify them by the truth. My Word is truth. So we speak that Word. And it's having an effect to change the situation around us so our senses can pick it up. So it comes from the invisible realm to the visible realm. And then you get to go to the doctor and say, see? No. Praise God. Our words, either inspired words or persuasive words. And actually, again, you know, what we need to remember is it's working for us whether you like it or not. Gravity's working whether you like it or not. The words are working. Either they're persuading us. What direction are they persuading us? All right, and the third area is our meditation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. So the Word of God, our words, and our meditation can all be evidence. Amplified Bible says 2 Corinthians 4:18 this way. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting, but the things which are invisible are deathless and everlasting. I like the way that the Amplified puts it, the invisible things. Not the non-existing things, just the things we can't see. And, you know, as science progresses, they're finding out there's all kinds of things going on that we can't see. And even science has been being able to discover them through microscopes and different ways like that. And then we have this whole understanding that we should have of this whole spirit realm, where there are angels in this room right now because we have angels assigned to us. I think it was NASA came in the process of getting men to the moon, discovered that there are molecules in anything solid, and if you get those molecules moving fast enough, you won't be able to see it. If you get the molecules in a solid object moving fast, speed of light, God is light, so if you get them moving at that speed, you would still be there, but you'd move your hand right through it, you wouldn't see it. It's still there, but you can't see it. Healing is here. Healing's here today. Praise God. Just maybe can't see it. That prosperity is here today. Peace is certainly here today. Angels of God are here today. God's here today. Holy Spirit's here today. Praise God. Just got to believe it. Meditate on it. You know, when the Bible says no, we need to know something, as Old and New Testament have this kind of side influence of when you know something, you're experiencing it. So what we need to do is meditate to the extent that we can, if we begin to experience it, and we start experiencing the healing before we really can show it to the doctor yet, before the doctor can realize it, we're realizing it and experience it. My daughter and I would talk about, you know, I see myself coming in that door.
Yes. Amen.
And I'll be doing what Diane was doing just a little while ago. Probably end up on the floor too. I see myself coming in and telling everybody, hey, guess what? No more chair. Praise God. I see myself just walking on a property up at home. I've been around the farm, but I'm going to. So you begin to experience it, praise God. You experience the peace. You experience the prosperity. You think, you know, what's that going to feel like when the bills are paid, when they're caught up? Praise God, praise God. What are you doing? Gathering evidence. Evidence. Word of God says, I'm saying, I'm feeling, I'm experiencing. Praise God. It'll just be a continued celebration if you're already celebrating, because you already know it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Know that you know that you know. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says this. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Praise God. The just shall live by faith. Let's worship Him.